Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we come before thee this morning hour to give thee the heartfelt thanks, Lord, for all that thou dost do for us. Lord, we thank thee for thy blessings and for all that thou dost do for us continually. Yet we know, Lord, that it is not because we are so blessed, but it is because thou art so good and thou art worthy to be praised. And Lord, whatever our lot in this life might be, Father, we pray thee that thou wouldst receive glory because thou art good, and that thou wouldst be praised and magnified in all that we do. So now as we open thy word, Father, we just pray thee that thy spirit would be felt here among us. Lord, for this we do ask and pray in faith and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. For this morning's reading, let's turn to the first book of Corinthians, chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 10.
Ljubezni, čitaći se sveti reči gospodnje iz Korinčanima, poslanica prva, glava deseta. Korinčanima prva, deseta glava.
Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all did eat the same spiritual meat, and all did drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? But if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. What a beautiful way to start the Lord's Day here in the house of the Lord as we began with that song, Hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. Truly the Lord is worthy of our praise and of our adoration toward him, that we would glorify him and praise him and serve him and lift up his name. And may that be the focus of today, that as we are here in God's house and spending time together as a fellowship, that we would lift up the Lord's name and glorify him and praise him for who he is, because he is worthy of all that. The Bible says along that theme that we ought to have no other gods before our God in our hearts. The Bible says, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. And so as we come here to worship him, we know that we are worshiping a jealous God. He wants all of our hearts. He wants to be Lord of all of our hearts, and that we would glorify him as such, and that there would be nothing else in our heart that would be above him, and that we would praise him and glorify him, knowing that he is that jealous God. The Bible says that his name is jealous, and so he wants all of our heart, all of our being, all of our attention, all of our aspirations. He wants it all, and may it be that we would give it to him. This chapter speaks of many things, and there's truly many topics that we could pull from a chapter such as this, and perhaps we'll focus on that God is a jealous God, and he wants to be first and foremost in our hearts and in our lives. In verse number 15 here of our chapter that we read, it says, I speak as to wise men. And so as the Apostle Paul was writing this epistle, and as we read this chapter, we see that God is speaking, and he's speaking to us, and he's speaking as unto wise men. Most of us here have given our hearts to the Lord, and we have a desire to worship him and to love him and to glorify him. That's our desire. And so it is as we are wise believers, that those that would desire to put God first in our hearts and in our lives, that he would be Lord of all, because as the saying goes, that if he is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. And so it may be then that we would be, that as the word would go forth, and as the Bible speaks, as we read the Bible, that we would be reflective that he's speaking as unto wise men, as to wise believers, those that understand and those that have a desire to serve the Lord. In Proverbs we read, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. I speak as to wise men. If we walk wisely, we will be delivered from all harm and from all evil. But if we trust in ourselves, we will fail. The Bible makes that clear, and we've experienced that throughout our life experiences, that if we trust in ourselves, we will fail. Or we've seen others perhaps trusting in themselves, and that fails. That does not survive. That fails. And so the Apostle Paul here is writing to the believers here in Corinth and speaking to them, and he begins this chapter by saying, that he doesn't want us to be ignorant. He wants us to be understanding. Again, I speak as unto wise men. Let's not be ignorant of this, that all of our fathers, and here he's speaking in all inclusivity, and to all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. All of those that left Egypt, all of the Jews that left Egypt and went through the wilderness and were making their way to the promised land, they all experienced these things. All of them. There was not a one that didn't experience these things. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. They were all under the clouds. They were all eating the same meat, and they were all drinking the same drink. They all had that mutual experience. And so we also have this mutual experience. It says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. God was not pleased with some of them. In fact, only Joshua and Caleb made it to the promised land. None of the others that left Egypt had made it into the promised land. And they were overthrown in the wilderness. With many of them, God was not pleased. Well pleased. These Jews, as they left Egypt, they saw the miracles of God. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. They saw the cloud by day and fire by night. They saw the manna coming from heaven. They saw the water coming from the rock. They saw all these things, and yet they turned to unbelief. And the Bible says here in Hebrews, but with whom was he grieved those 40 years? Was it not with them who had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. They couldn't make it in to the promised land because they had unbelief. They didn't believe in what God did for them. God did many miracles. Again, they beheld the parting of the Red Sea. They beheld the water from the rock, the manna coming from the sky. They beheld all these things, and yet they didn't believe. Yet they made a molten calf and said, behold, these be thy gods which delivered thee out of Egypt. And God was not pleased with them. They turn to idolatry. So it could be in our lives that we can behold the love of God. We could behold how gracious He is. We could behold that He gave us His only begotten Son. We could behold that His mercy is extended out to us. We could behold that it's not God's will that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance and the acknowledging of the truth. And yet, just as the Israelites did, we can say, no, thank you, God. And so these are written for our examples. And again, I speak as unto wise men. These were written for our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And so here the Apostle Paul is giving specific examples of the things that the children of Israel, the sins that they fell into. And so he says, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. They were enjoying themselves. They were looking for that pleasure. And they didn't want to follow God and be obedient unto Him and make the sacrifices that they were supposed to make and serve God in all those ways. They fell into idolatry. And so we see that in their time, idolatry took on that form of perhaps a molten calf or other things that they turned to. But in our time, it certainly could be covetousness. The Bible says that covetousness is idolatry. And we could want and desire to have and think that I need that. And that's falling into idolatry because we're putting something else ahead of God in our hearts. But let us be content and thankful that whatever God has given unto us, we know that that is good. And God will provide for us and will not leave us, but will help us and will give unto us all things that we have need of. says, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them also some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. A horrific sin that so many, 23,000, fell into. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. And we see the failings of the children of Israel as they made their way, as they migrated from Egypt and were making their way through the wilderness into the promised land. They fell into these sins over and over, and they were tempting the Lord. And then he continues on and says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. This is what the children of Israel fell into. These four things: idolatry, fornication, tempting the Lord, and then murmuring. And often we might think that when the children of Israel, how could it be that they fell into idolatry? They had God with them. And they knew that Moses God was speaking through Moses. They knew all these things. How could they have fell into idolatry? And we might think that was severe. And certainly they deserved to suffer the consequences of that when God was not well pleased with them. And we also think of fornication. What a horrible sin. But here in verse number 10, he's saying, but don't murmur. Don't murmur. And we might think, well, that's not on the same level as fornication and idolatry. But it is. God destroyed them. God destroyed them. The Bible says in the book of Numbers that they were complaining. They were complaining, and it angered the Lord. It angered the Lord, and his anger was so kindled that he destroyed those that were in the outermost parts of the camp. And the people saw that God was destroying them because they complained, and they cry out to Moses, God, help, may God spare us from this destruction that we are experiencing. And so it was that God did. And then soon afterwards, they fell a-lusting again, and they started complaining. And they started saying, oh, we remember the fish that we had in Egypt. The cucumbers and the melons and the garlics and the leeks and the onions. And they had that in abundance. And we have nothing here, and our soul is drying up, and we have nothing but this manna. They were complaining again. And the Bible says that God destroyed them. His anger was kindled against them. And so let us not think that we can just stay away from idolatry, stay away from fornication, but we can complain and it might be okay. It is not. The Bible here is clearly teaching us that. I speak as unto wise men. He that walketh wisely shall be delivered. Too often, we in our first world country have first world complaints, and God is not well pleased with that. God is giving unto us his blessings and of his abundance and of his goodness, and he knows exactly what it is that we have need of. And we are not to complain. We are not to murmur. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. This is written for our admonition, for our warning, and for our counsel, that we would understand these things. As it's often said, that a wise man learns from his mistakes, but a wiser man still learns from others' mistakes. These are written for our examples, that we would learn that we ought not to complain, we ought not to fall into idolatry, having covetousness in our hearts, or fall into lusting, because God will destroy. As he says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Here it seems like the Bible is going into something a little different now. Speaking of those that might think that they're doing okay. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Again, going back to that proverb we began with, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. We remember Peter, who said, I will never forsake thee. Told the Lord that before, hours before he did forsake him. He was a fool because he was trusting in his own heart. He thought he could stand. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. If we're trusting in ourselves, if we have that self-reliance about us, we will fall. Peter experienced that. He thought, though all forsake thee, I will never forsake thee. But he fell because he was trusting in his own self. There's another proverb. That says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil. Again, I speak as unto wise men. I speak as unto wise men, as unto wise believers. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil. A wise man will stay away from covetousness. A wise man will stay away from murmuring and complaining. But the fool rageth and is confident. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. That's what the fool does. He rages and is confident to think that he can do something of himself. Again, the Bible is replete with examples of those who have made mistakes and yet those who have done good. And so we think of that parable that Jesus told, and he began this parable by giving the context and why this parable is being spoken. He says that he spoke this parable for those who thought that they were righteous and despised others. And so he says that the two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one a publican, and the Pharisee brings out all his own accolades, and he pours the accolades upon himself and all the things that he does, and the publican doesn't even draw near. He stays far, and he smotes upon his breast and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. He that exalteth himself, Jesus concludes that parable by saying, he that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This is the Bible. This is the truth. I speak as unto wise men. Let's not think something of ourselves. We will fall. Let's not think that we are something of ourselves, for we will fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. What a comforting truth, that God is faithful. What a comforting promise that God will provide a way of escape. The children of Israel were tempted as they were in the wilderness. They were tempted, but God was providing a way of escape. God provided for them all their provision. God provided for them all of their need. God did that. But yet they fell into temptation. They fell a-lusting, as the Bible says. But God's faithful, and he will not suffer us to be tempted, and so he will, when we go through temptations, he will provide a way of escape. And it is our place, our responsibility, our obligation falls into looking for that way of escape as that way of escape manifests itself in the temptation that we are experiencing. But thanks be to God that he has provided for us his Son, who intercedes for us and who experienced all the things that we experience, but to a much greater level. And so in Hebrews again, it says that, for in that he, Jesus, himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or help them that are tempted. So thanks be to God that Jesus has provided that, that as we are going through a suffering of temptation, that He's going to intercede for us, and he's going to help us because he knows the temptations that we are going through. The temptation that we might experience, the greatest temptation that we might experience, is that God would be dethroned or relegated to something less than being Lord of all in our hearts. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. This is the warning and speaking as unto wise men. And so verses 16 through 20, 21, here he speaks of not having any fellowship with devils, that as we partake of the Lord's body and that cup and that bread which we break, it's all part of the body of Christ. For we being many are one bread and one body, and we are all partakers of that one bread. Again, just as the children of Israel, they all went through the Red Sea. They were all baptized unto Moses. They all partook of that same manna and of that same spiritual drink, of that water. And so likewise we, that when we remember the Lord's broken body and the blood that he shed, we are all experiencing that together. We are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the idol, of the altar? And so he's speaking here just simply that if we are part of the Lord's, if we are on his body, if he is Lord of all and Lord in our hearts, that we have no room to be a partaker of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Again, the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. If he is not Lord of all in our hearts, he will not be Lord at all. And for them, for the children of Israel, for them he destroyed. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. And here he's speaking of the liberties that a Christian has. In verse number 26, he speaks, and also at the end of verse number 28, he's saying that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to the Lord. The Lord created it all. Everything that we can experience or see, the Lord created it all. And all things are the Lord's. And so for us, as we recognize that, we know that, as the Bible says, nothing is unclean of itself. The Lord created everything. So nothing is unclean of itself. But to any man that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. But the Lord created it all. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. So from our hearts, again, we say, Hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. God hath made all things, and we recognize him as Lord of all, and we accept everything that God gives us as good because it's all his and he created it all. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But he's saying here, let no man seek his own wealth, but every man another's wealth. In other words, our service is for others, is that we would edify and encourage and build each other up, and that we would not be a stumbling block one to another. And so this is the teaching here, is that if there is something that is, though we have liberty, and though we know that all things are the Lord's, and he created it all, and we receive it with thanksgiving, we know that some may be offended. And so he's saying, seek every man another's wealth. Let others be built up by our life. Let others be edified. Let others be strengthened. And we ought to live our lives as such. For their conscience, not necessarily our own, because we know that all things are the Lord's, and it's all good. So, So he concludes here by saying, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. This is the desire of our hearts. Again, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. The Lord is first in our lives. We have nothing in our hearts that's greater than the Lord. And so everything that we do, whether we're eating or drinking or anything that we do, we're doing it all to the glory of God because he is so worthy. He is worthy to be magnified. He is worthy to be praised. He has done so much. So whatever it is that, if our lives are blessed, God be the glory. If we have some challenges, to God be the glory. If we experience very, very great difficulties and tribulations and trials, and we have no safe or secure place where we can go, we feel that we are being pursued by the devil continuously. All glory always goes to God. All glory always goes to God. Whatever it might be, all glory always goes to God because ultimately it's about him. We are his creation. Let him do as seemeth him good. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. And so as we live out our lives, we're doing it all to his honor and to his glory. And we want to be... we want to have others be edified and strengthened in their ways, whether it be a Jew, a Gentile, or someone in the church. And he says here that even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. This is what our aspirations as we live out our lives, that we want to glorify God in everything, that we want to serve him. We want him to be Lord of all. And that as we pray together, that it would be reflective that how much love we have for God is how much love we're showing toward one another. That we would build each other up, that we would seek to make others lifted up and edified, that we would not murmur or complain, that we would not have covetousness in our hearts or any form of idolatry, but that we would live for him, that we would glorify him, that we would magnify him. I'm reminded now of Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, where it says that don't murmur. Don't murmur. If you want to be perfect, don't murmur. This is how we can reach perfection, is by not complaining. And then we can be that light. We can be a light, and perhaps that light will shine the brightest, because if there's complaining and murmuring all around, and we come with a thankful attitude and say, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. The Lord God reigns, and he does all things well. He has never made a mistake. Then our light can shine. Amidst that darkness, our light can shine. When we give glory to God, when yet all around us is that darkness of murmuring and complaining. So may God grant unto us, each and every one, that we would live lives that would glorify him, that we would live lives of edification, that we would live lives that we would learn from the example of others, that we would not trust in ourselves, that we would live for him. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen.
God is a jealous God. It tells us in Exodus. And yet in Galatians, it tells us that we are not to be jealous. Jealousy that we have is of something that does not rightfully belong to us, and that is sin. All praise, all glory, all honor belongs to God. And he is jealous of that which is his, which is being given to someone else. That's the jealousy of God. It's right. Our jealousy is wrong. Brother mentioned in this prayer that we need to pause to reflect upon our own life. In reading these verses in the beginning, it talks of the children of Israel as they were baptized, as it says, they were under the cloud and passed through the sea, baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. How were they baptized unto Moses? All that simply means is that they were identified with Moses. Moses was a man of God. The nation of Israel was identified with him. And they, it tells us here, they did eat the same spiritual meat. They drank the same spiritual drink. They drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, which was Christ. But it says, with many of them, God was not well pleased. They were all identified, but God was not well pleased with them. Why? It says they were overthrown in the wilderness, and these things are examples because they did lust after other evil things. And that lusting was for that which was not God's will for them. This is very something very much that we should apply to our hearts. As I said, let's pause and reflect. Are the things that God gave me, His will, what He has given us, is that not sufficient? The manna which was given to the nation of Israel was not sufficient for them. They wanted more. And they murmured and they complained. And it tells us, actually in Deuteronomy 8, it'd be good to read that chapter. It says that he led them 40 years in the wilderness to humble them, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart. Let's pause and reflect so that we could know what is in our heart when we compare it to the will of God. And are we murmuring as they did? So, dear ones, when we reflect upon the fact that we are identified with Christ through baptism, we are identified with Him. He gives us all of our provisions. He gives us everything that we need. If we want to be outside of His will, we are lusting for those things which God is not pleased with. And He will not allow, as we read later, we cannot partake of the table of devils and the table of the Lord. And that doesn't mean idolatry in the sense of, as brother mentioned, it's not about the actual idol that we bow before, as the nation of Israel had done. No, it's those things that we covet in our heart, those things which don't belong to us. Brothers, have we ever, or sisters, have we ever had a jealousy of something that didn't belong to us, something that was someone else's? A jealousy creeps up into our heart. That is absolute sin. We can keep all the laws of God and just have that jealousy. Why is that jealousy there? Because that person is elevated in your mind above yourself. So again, what brings that? That brings us to pride. I'm proud. I want that. And you strive, and then you get something that will rival that, and then suddenly you feel good because you lifted yourself up. You strive to get that to match. That's called living, I'm keeping up with the Joneses, right? I got to get that too so I can feel worthwhile or feel worthy of being in their presence and so on. It's all sin. It's all sin. But the jealousy of God, that which belongs rightfully to Him, is being given to someone else. And so, let's pause. Reflect on our hearts. But also, let's consider one another, as Paul spoke here so beautifully of conscience and not wanting to hurt someone else's conscience. What might be free for me to do might not be, might cause someone a jealousy and cause them to sin. So let's be careful with what we do. What we have, our possessions, again, what's it bring us to? Modesty. It's all in Christ. The teachings of Christ are there. We have to embrace them all and love Him. And He will lead us to that promised land. Amen.